Again, I'd like to say welcome to the people listening on the internet and watching us tonight. It's good to have a real nice group of people there, faithful to the services, and we hope that you're being blessed. Amen. The 24th chapter of Luke, we find Jesus here after His crucifixion, after His death, burial, and resurrection. And He is meeting with some of those that had followed Him again. And so as He walks along with some people here, verse number 13, chapter 24, "Behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are so sad?" Amen. Isn't it something, and I know I used this scripture not long ago, but I wanted to bring it through again. Isn't it something how that sometimes we find ourselves after having walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, been with Jesus, we've seen the miracles that the Lord can perform, and we know without a shadow of a doubt that He is what the Word of God teaches that He is. Isn't it something when things seem to go wrong, sometimes we find ourselves talking a little negative, communicating a little bit sadly, and have you ever noticed that even though that does happen to us as individuals sometimes, if we will start looking to Jesus again, He will bless us again. And we'll find ourselves later on rejoicing and realizing that, hey, that same Jesus that was with me before is with me now. Or that same Jesus that blessed me before is able to bless me again. So these people had come to this place in life where they had never been through anything like this, of course. They had followed with Jesus and seen what He could do, but then physically saw Him tortured and brought to an open shame and put to death. And they were talking about this terrible event that had taken place. And Jesus Himself joined in the conversation and asked, "What manner of communication are these that you have one with another as you walk and are so sad?" And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, "Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things that are come to pass that are in these days?" And He said, "What things?" Now, Jesus wasn't dumb, and He wasn't ignorant to what was going on. He was just trying to get them to talk and change their manner of conversation. Hallelujah. And He said, "What things?" And so they said to Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and all the rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and had crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not His body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels which said that He was alive. Sometimes we can hear the report of what Jesus said would take place, and still it's difficult to accept. And these people were so sad. They were actually saying these words to Jesus in a negative frame of mind. Some people went to the tomb and found the tomb empty. It's the third day since they put Him to death and He's not there anymore. I mean, He did say that all this would come to pass. And but there's something, when you become sad in your conversation, sad in your thinking, it's hard to pick yourself up. Sometimes we need a little boost from Jesus. But don't give up in the midst of the valley. He will join Himself to your conversation. Turn that off for just a moment. I see a few people shivering out here. These little old Southerners. Amen. He will join Himself to your... You're welcome, Sister Judy. It does get cold back in that corner. She's from Florida. Amen. But He does join Himself to your valley experience. And it seems that Jesus is not happy about your negative thinking. He's not real turned on by your pessimistic viewpoints. I say you, I'm talking about all of us, myself included. When we start getting down in the mouth about how life is, I want to tell you something. Life is the same for every human on the face of the earth. It's filled with misery, problems, doom, gloom, and everybody's dying. And I could stand up here and really make you feel sad if I wanted to linger on what life will really do to us. It'll just, you know. I had hoped that I would become a millionaire, but I'm broke. And I had thought that I would win certain contests, but I lost. And I thought my friends would be with me, but they turned against me. And I thought my loved ones would be around a lot longer, but they left the scene of life. And I'm just lost. And if we would linger on those thoughts, finally our mind will just kind of like get set in that negative frame. It's like it takes a picture and you put it on the wall and it's just a dark spot and it's there and it's going to be there. And no matter what anybody says, life is bad. One fellow businessman told me one day when I was kind of feeling a little bit bad years ago. He said, let me tell you about people. He said, generally now, really. And he had this little smile on his face. And I was getting ready for him to say something really nice. And he said, people in general are rotten. Now, I was already thinking that, and I didn't need to hear that. Then he went back to his job. But, you know, you get to looking at people in general, especially if you, say, deal on the internet in a chat room or a visit around a little bit. The old spirit of negativism, pessimism, gloom, it's out there. And it wants to be your companion. It's difficult when things are going wrong to keep yourself looking up if you don't have God. But if you've got God and you've got Him in your heart just right, and if you're really a Christian bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and you know He's been resurrected and you know that He's blessing your life, it's really difficult to get sad. Anyway, that's the way I see it. People come in here with all these sad stories. Oh, this happened. That went wrong. Oh, this is bad. Oh. And I can't wait for them to shut up so I can keep on being happy. I'm not... You know, I see the people digging the ditches. And I'm sorry that they're hurting. And I'm sad that they're tired. For a moment. And I feel sorry for them, but I'm not going to get there and wallow in the ditch while they dig it just because I don't like the fact that they're hurting and sad. No, I'm just going to pass on by. Amen. I'm just going to pass on by. Because let me tell you something. This Jesus that I met along the way, amen, is still my Jesus today. And this Jesus that was there in the beginning, when I first needed hope, that gave me hope. The day that I shouted, hallelujah, Praise my God, that same Jesus is with us now. Everybody say now. Now, if that makes you sad, I'm sorry for you, but you're not going to make me sad because you're sad. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be sad. Look, I know there's some empty chairs here tonight. That's their problem, not mine. If people don't want to go to this church, praise God, I'm still going to go. I don't know what goes wrong out there that's so important that people can say, I'll be there Sunday, and then they don't show up at all. And they just lie and stay home. But that's their problem, not my problem. I will enjoy my blessing tonight. Who cares? Don't care who is here, not here. You can stare at me like you're tired of church and sick of me. But I'm going to praise God anyhow. Amen. I praise God because He's alive and I know He lives. I know He lives. And I know there are more souls listening to me right now who are not in this room who want to be convinced that this Jesus we talk about is real. And this Jesus that we're positive about is something that they can grab a hold of too. And they need to know that there's somebody in the world besides those people they rub shoulders with who's able to get up here. We're not ashamed to look into a camera and smile and say it's wonderful to be a Christian. We're not ashamed to get in front of the microphone and say, Hallelujah! I praise my God! He's today more dear to me than ever in my life. I'm glad I met Him when I didn't understand what was going on. But I'm even more glad today after all the problems that I've encountered in life and after all the sadness that has come my way. I'm happy to report it's worth it to live for God. It's worth it to follow Jesus. It's worth it to be on time for church. It's worth it to be here, to be able to say, I'm tired in body, but I'm lifted up in my soul. I'm feeling good because my God walks with me right now. Hallelujah! Sometimes I feel like I'm just beating the air with this wonderful truth. But it needs to be heard. Somebody needs to get excited. There's somebody out there tonight that doesn't know what we know. And for them, life is nothing but doom and gloom and hurt and sadness. And I get these reports all the time. Not just on the internet. Up and down the avenues. People are hurting. People are hurting. People are sad. Some of them have had an experience having seen that there is a God, and that when you use the name of Jesus, things do happen. But they just had a little glimpse of what it's all about, like these disciples walking along. They had seen some things, they had heard some things, but when everything seemed to physically go wrong in their lives, they lost sight of that which is spiritual. Hallelujah. And I'm just glad to report what God was, He still is. I had a man chasing me through the streets of Norwich once. I told you about this a few times. Just walked out on the street and this guy looked at me and started walking toward me. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. So I started backing up. And the more I went away from him, the faster he came. So I just took off running. And he was right behind me, right on my heels, running. We were both a little overweight, and we were just huffing and puffing. I was running down the street, this big old man right behind me. I finally just couldn't go anymore. I couldn't. I was out of breath, and I finally said, well, if he's going to kill me, he'll just have to do it, because I just can't go. I mean, this old body can only run so far. Can only run so fast. And I just ran. This guy was right on my trail, just chasing me. And I just stopped and waited to see what would happen. And it was quiet. And I turned around, he's just standing there looking at me. I said, what's going on? And I took a step toward him and he backed up. Took another step and he backed up again. I started walking toward him. He turned around and started walking away from me. Then I started kind of running toward him, and he started running from me. Next thing I knew, I was chasing this big fat man down the streets of Norwich. Just huffing and puffing. He was just a-going, and I was just a-going. I'd say, why am I chasing this man? Why am I chasing this man? So I stopped. And he stopped. I'm not making this up. It really happened. I stood there and I looked at this crazy guy. He turned around and looked at me. And he started my direction. And so I started backing up. Next thing you know, he was chasing me again. I don't know what the neighbors thought. I don't know what the police thought. I don't even know what I thought. I just know I was just running for my life. I said, that's enough of this. I'm not going to do any more. And I stopped. And he stopped. This is back when they had that state hospital not too far from here. And I think they let them out at our door every Saturday or something. But all this time he was wanting to say something to me. I finally just stood there and he said these words. He said, and he didn't know me. We weren't on TV at the time. We weren't well known in the city. In fact, we were hardly noticed at all there at that time. I was new in this area. But he said, I was Holy Ghost filled. I went to church, got baptized in Jesus' name, went under the water, came out, and I backslid on God and didn't go to church no more. And that's what's wrong with me. Bye. And he took off. But he was a typical example of what can happen when you've been with Jesus, when you've walked with Jesus. Now, I never had heard that man speak before, and after that I saw him for 2 or 3 years on the street. I never heard him speak again. As far as I know, nobody else heard him say any words. He was just a man out of his mind. But he had to say those words because something in that heart was crying out, please hear me. I have been with Jesus. And I left Jesus. And what that mental strain can do to a person. The lady in Danbury who pulled a knife on me one night when I was talking to her and trying to minister, and she pulled this big old butcher knife out, and she's standing there and growling like a dog and talking like a demon or something. And I didn't know what to expect. But after the night, and I've told you about this several times, I think. I won't go into all the details. She didn't succeed in killing me. I'm still here. But after she had testified and been around churches some, then she went into this frame of mind. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. I have all these problems. I have all these difficulties in life. And that started eating on her, eating on her, eating on her, to finally, it was like she was serving it, serving something that was driving. And she ended up in an asylum. The family called on me wanting me to go and visit this person in the asylum. When I walked into that place, that institution, she was like standing with a group of people around her. And when I walked through the door and came into their presence, she said, that's him. And it was like a light just lit up on all these faces. And people started coming toward me, drawing near me, surrounding me. All these people that were insane, having mental difficulties in this institution. And they were gathering around saying things like, tell me about Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. And I heard some of them say, I used to know Jesus. I once knew Jesus. And I was just listening to all this. And some of them just reaching out saying, pray for me. Pray for me. I believe in prayer. Longing eyes. Mentally hurting. Hurting humanity. I don't know what all their stories were. But somewhere along the way, evidently these people had some kind of an experience of hoping in God. Trusting in God. Believing on God. And I know that old skeptical demon crowd out there that can't get above the mud and the slime is going to think, yeah, that's what they get for even thinking about God. No, it's the people that don't think about God that lose their minds. It's the people that don't have a touch of God in your life that go off the deep end. You can't go off the deep end with God. Oh, but I knew somebody religious and became a real freak. No, you might have known somebody religious, but when you really get God in your life, He lifts you up above the shadows. He will put a sound mind in your head. He will cause your thoughts to be enlightened. And He will cause your whole mental attitude to be something that the devil cannot penetrate. He is not the author of confusion. He will deliver you from confusion. And those, you know, I'm more and more convinced as I go along that many times the mental institutions are filled with people who have had some kind of an experience, some kind of a touch of believing on God, and they walked away from it, and life dealt them a blow. And they can't get their mind. I knew a man right here in Norwich. I went to visit him. I went to teach him or play some music with him. He played a banjo, and I was playing the guitar, and we were getting together at his house. I walked in, and I found all these dirty dishes and a kitchen that was just filled with, you know, filth in his house. And, that was his business, but there was a story that he told me that astonished me. He said his wife had passed away several years before and said that she left those dishes just like that. And he said, I refuse to touch them. I want to remember how it was the day she died. And he took me to the bedroom, and the bed was not made. She said, that's where she was the night she slept there before she died. She said, I never touched that bed. I never allow anybody to touch those dishes. You see, those little fragments there, that's the food she was eating just before she died. Now, I don't want to live like that. There's something better than the doom and the gloom and the agony of the sadness that comes to us all. We've all been through some terrible times in our lives, but this Jesus that was with us before the trouble is with us now. Hallelujah. Amen. He's with us again. Amen. And He's able to take us from this point forward. Sure, it's bad, but it's good. Sure, it's sad, but it's glad. Oh, if you can't end your sad song with a song of victory, don't sing the song. If I can't end up my story of my sadness by somehow saying, praise God, everything's going to be all right, then I don't have anything really that's worth much talking about. What things? Jesus knew what things they were talking about. Why are you so sad? He knew why they were sad. But He was asking the question to let them know there's no reason for you to feel this way. And then He said, oh, fools, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have allowed or suffered these things? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. And they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went to tarry with them, and it came to pass. You know why they, at this point, why they were inviting Him? He was still a stranger to them. But the reason they were inviting Him to their house at this point was because in the midst of their sadness, in the midst of their gloom, somebody came with some positive words and joined to that conversation. Hallelujah. Started talking about the Word of God. It's uplifting to consider the Word of God. He started expounding the Scriptures to them concerning the things that were written by Moses in the Word of God concerning Himself. But they didn't know that was who it was that was talking to them. In their minds, Jesus was dead. In their minds, all hope was gone. In their minds, there's no reason to be happy anymore. But Jesus was with them saying, remember what Moses wrote. Remember what the prophets said. Remember what the Word of God has promised us. remember what shall come to pass. It's the Word of God. And based upon this conversation that was taking a turn toward the positive, they said, would you come and stay in our house? Would you come and dine with us? Would you come and be with us this evening? We would like to spend some time with you. It's always good to bring a little sunlight in a gloomy conversation. Hallelujah. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it's toward evening, the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Praise God. I could almost hear him after he vanished, you know, if they'd been in that same frame of mind they were before. Well, we thought we had him, but he left us again. You know. But they had changed their way of looking at things now. They'd had another glimpse of what Jesus is, what Jesus can be, what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing now, and what Jesus shall do. Their eyes were open. He vanished out of their sight. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the Scriptures. And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Now the conversation sounds a whole lot better. We had our hopes, and we, oh, terrible things are happening. Oh, you're so sad. Doesn't it sound better to hear them now saying, the Lord is alive. The Lord is risen indeed. Here they are telling others. He is alive. He is risen. He has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they were speaking, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. But they were terrified. I've seen some people come to this kind of a church and just scares the socks off of them. Especially when the Lord starts moving. I've heard people that'll fight in a bar room. They'll be out in the alley drunk on Saturday night, but it scares them to death to go to church. Especially when they clap those hands. Ooh, it's scary. And they raise those heads and say, hallelujah. Ooh, that scares me. But they'll fight and they'll run around on each other and they'll get drunk and they'll cuss and swear and they'll threaten people. But church, ooh. Now that's an old spirit. That's an old spirit that gets on people who start thinking negative about the way of God and who start doubting the things of God. You don't have to entertain that. The Bible said, as we quoted this morning, give no place to the devil. That means don't give any place or make any room for anything that manifests the devil, such as fear. Forget fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. You don't have to get the preacher to cast fear out of your life. You just start loving God and it'll go. Start loving the things of God. Start loving life again. Start loving just being able to have an opportunity. Hallelujah. To praise God with your breath. To praise God with your uplifted hands. To praise God and, oh, look forward to the next time you get to go to church and assemble with the people of God. Don't spend all your week as church is drawing near thinking of all the reasons why you may not be able to make it. Don't let Tuesday morning come and all of a sudden you start making plans on what if this happens, what if that happens, I may not be able to go to church. Tuesday morning is a good time to start saying, no matter what happens, I'll be in church. Because I guarantee you, anything that can go wrong on church night or church morning will go wrong. If there's anything that can keep you out of the house of God, you better believe it's going to show up. Hallelujah. But if you can just barrel on through it, I'm going to tell you what. If I'm going to have to put something off because of some physical condition, some ailment, some problem, if there's something that's got to be put off, it's not going to be my church. It's not going to be my way of worshiping God. If I got to, look, I've got Monday when we don't have church service. I got Wednesday when we don't have church service. I got Friday when we don't have church service. I got Saturday when we don't have church service. I got all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and Sunday afternoon when we don't have church service. I have from 10 o'clock till 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 days a week when we don't have church service. And don't you even think for a second that I'm going to let anything, including how I feel, keep me out of church if I can do anything about it, if I'm able to walk, if I'm able to breathe. Amen. Hospital, you wait till Monday. It's my church time and my God still heals today. Friends and neighbors want to visit me, wait till I get out of church. Or you just sit tight till I get back, or go to church with me. But you're not going to stop me, because I've been with Jesus. I was there Sunday. Jesus met me there. The people testified, encouraged my heart. I heard conversations that lifted me up. My, did my heart burn within me as they sang those songs and talked about the Lord. I'm going to tell you what. If a problem can keep you out of church, that problem will show up right before church time. But if you won't be stopped from going to church, you'll get victory over those problems. And you'll face Monday healed. Now, that's not condemnation. Sure, I'm sitting here. Probably somebody Thursday night will have to miss or be late, and you're going to feel terrible because, I remember what he said? No. Don't get into that frame of mind. Look, if the preacher points right at you and hit you with the Word of God, say, hallelujah! God loves me enough to make me feel so bad it makes me feel good. Why is it so silent in here? Why are you so sad? Y'all want me to quit this church? You know, it's Pentecost. I'm used to people saying, hallelujah! But when I say it, it sounds so loud, and y'all just sitting there looking at me. Hey, I resigned churches where people did that. Let's stand. If you ain't apostolic, then I want to start a new apostolic church in Norwich. You talking to me? Yeah. You're the one that's quiet tonight. Why aren't you praising God? I'm talking about Jesus. You want me to preach a better sermon than I preached before? I'm not going to do it for your old doubting, skeptic mind. You get yourself in tune with God. This is church. I'll preach all night if I want to. It'll be good for you. If God's not a healer, why are you here? If you don't have hope in the Lord, why did you come? But you're here because you do have hope. You do have trust. You do believe God. And if you don't believe God, then you go on and be sick. If church is just something that bores you, expect to hurt. My Lord, I'm excited in the Lord. When you walk, I want to tell you something. I'm happy today just as I was last time I was happy. When you walk with the Lord, you don't get bored. Do I have to invite those Filipinos to come here to get you to jump and shout? Or could you do a little of it now? It could be if you'd loosen up a little bit, the old time apostolic Holy Ghost that you once had will start acting up a little bit. And that old tongue might start speaking in tongues again. And that old heart might start throbbing. And that old blood might start flowing. And you might start feeling like you're saved again. Why are you so sad? Well, we used to have more people. We used to be able to pay our bills better. Look, if that's going to cause you to be down and out, expect it to get worse. You might end up being the next one with a butcher knife. Or looking with glazed eyes from the other side of some hospital bed, wondering, why am I trapped in this old body? My Lord, you can be seated a minute. I am preaching these messages and being heard by multitudes of people. And every word counts. Every moment counts. Hallelujah. And every opportunity to make the best of the moment is very important. Hallelujah. God didn't call us to just be happy when we have a bunch of people. Or just be happy when things are going good. But He called us to be soldiers. And in this battle, sometimes we get hurt. We get wounded. We have problems. We have difficulties. But the good soldier just keeps on going. Keep on trucking. Keep on hanging in there. Keep on crawling out of the dirt. Dust yourself off and go again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I read about a bunch of our soldier boys years ago in the war. They were in the bottom of a ship. They were prisoners. Had chains around them. Somebody was allowed to go and visit them. And as he visited them, all those soldiers that were sick, hurting, had been prisoners for quite some time in the bottom of a ship in the darkness and the dampness. Each one of them kept saying, if I can only get free, I want to fight for my country. Some of them had been wounded. Some of the bodies had been mutilated, but they were saying, I just want to be free to keep on fighting. And if people be that dedicated to the cause of America, how much more should we be dedicated to the cause of winning the lost? Because it is a battle. It is a battle. Some people are not going to make it. Hallelujah. I keep hearing words like, I want to rededicate my life to God. I've been thinking about those words lately, and I'm just wondering, what is this word, dedication? To be dedicated. To be dedicated to God. It's certainly not in and out, up and down. Things earthly are so important that they keep you from spiritual blessings. It's not that. To be dedicated to God means your whole life, your breath, your existence, everything you live for, everything you long for is centered on pleasing God. Everything you do in word or in deed, it's all done in the name of Jesus. And every goal you set is with Christ in mind. That's dedication to God. But I hear a lot of people say, I have rededicated my life to God. And then you don't see them in church the next time the church doors open. Or next time you see them, they may be going a direction that dedicated people don't go. I think it's time for somebody to pay the price of dedication. Surrender to God. Totally dedicate yourself to God. Then the job has to play second fiddle. Then your family has to play second fiddle. Then all the things that come against you and try to stop you, they have to stand back. Dedication to God means that I'm a servant of God. And what I do is with my God in mind, and I'm going to serve Him, and I'm going to be there for Him, I'm going to be with Him, and no matter what you think, what they do, how they feel, how anybody acts, I'm going to be dedicated to God. And if you get like that, you'll contaminate the people around you, and they'll get like that too, and your family will be saved, and they'll be dedicated soldiers fighting this battle. But a lack of dedication is a lack of sincerity. And family members see that too. Amen. If I had been raised in a home where I have seen this in many places, in many ways, where my parents had done with me like I saw other parents do with their children, I would not be serving God today. Because I've seen a lot of parents, when little Johnny whimpers, the whole family stays home. Amen. When little Johnny or little Susie has a game or a school event, the whole family is late for church. I've seen them encourage their children, get your homework in church. I've watched as parents lay out sometimes several services, then they show up again. I told one family down in Louisiana, I said, you keep living like this and you're going to lose your children to the world. They puffed up. I can't believe you talk to us like that. Today, where are those children? Those children are now parents and probably soon to be grandparents, living a life that is anything but living for God. They're not living for God. Amen. You know, I would like, if it would do some good, I'd like to go down and say, see, I told you. It wouldn't do any good. But now we have an opportunity. Amen. And there are family members, daddies, mamas who don't go to this church, who are watching us. Amen. There are family ties, relatives, who are watching us. And there are children in the church who are watching us. And one of these days, they're either going to be serving God and dedicated to the Lord, or they're going to be saying, thank God that I finally got out of the church and finally got away from the people that were trying to make me serve God. One or the other. I had an employer look me in the eyes once and said, you need to break away from your family. You need to break away from your daddy because he's trying to poke all this religion down your throat. Her name was Betty, and she was a millionaire, and I worked for her. She said, how can you be dedicated to this job and have to go to church so much? Amen. Well, a few days later, I was just so happy to stand at Betty's desk and say, here's the keys to the van. Here are the keys to store number one in Stuttgart, Arkansas. Here are the keys to store number two in Pine Bluff. Here are the keys to store number three in Dumas, which I had all three stores. She said, what's that all about? I said, you mentioned dedication to your job. I'm dedicated. Huh? Now you stand again. I said, I'm dedicated to my job. Now why'd you give me the keys? I said, because you're not my boss. She said, are you quitting? I said, yeah. Sure am. I said, anybody try to get me to leave my God? Anybody try to get me to break away from the godly parents that have brought me up in this Christian life to serve you and your money and your greed? I quit. And I felt good about it. She said, you'll never be able to make it without a good job. I said, Betty, I've got a good job. And I serve God, and He pays great dividends. She said, well, if it doesn't work out, I said, just hush right there. It works out. She said, but you can always come back here. I said, I never will. Don't even open that door. Don't expect me back, Betty Nichols. I will not come back to J&J Piano Organ Company. I quit. Here are the keys. I'm walking away. Where are you going? I said, I don't know, but I'm not going to serve you or your greed. I'm going to serve God. Hallelujah. That felt good, and I needed to say that to her because she had said, break away from that church. Pull out of that thing. Get away from your parents. But my parents happened to be people of God, and the church I attended was not making me go to church. I had found a place at the altar where I got the real God in my life. And yes, I had financial struggles and worries and things that went wrong, but I was able to pick it up again and go again because the real God whom I serve always was able to deliver me. Hallelujah. And yeah, I broke away from my daddy. He died. But I didn't break away from the God that I serve. Hallelujah. One of these days I'll break away from my mama and the rest of the family. Somebody told me down in Memphis, Tennessee some time ago, said, you're a mama's boy. When you gonna break the apron string? I said, never. I said, as long as she's alive, she'll be my mama. long as she's alive, I'll go home and see her when I can. I'll tell her I love her. Long as she's alive, I'll pick up the phone. I'll call Mama once in a while. He said, you're just Mama's baby. I said, that's right, and it wouldn't hurt you to be one too. I'll tell you what, I got a good Mama. She loves God, and she taught me about God. She's worthy of honor. She's worthy of double honor. And I will hang on to that apron string as long as it's able to dangle where I can hang on to it. Hallelujah! And you know why I feel that way? Because my Mama was dedicated to God. She was not one of these wishy-washy in and out, up today, down tomorrow, I don't think we're going to make it type Christian. It was always, I don't care what went wrong with anybody. It didn't matter how bad it looked. She was the one that always had the encouraging words. She was the one that said, everything's going to be all right. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Let me tell you what He's able to do for you. I've seen her go through all kinds of pressures, wondering how she's going to come out. But she always came out with a smile and said, hallelujah. Woo! I washed her dance her shoes off. Glory, when she was going through a struggle, I watched her kick up those heels. I watched her from the time I was a little boy till I was a grown man walk up and down church aisles saying, hallelujah, it's worth it to be a Christian. It's worth it to serve my God. I've seen her sick, but I've seen her raise those hands when she's sick. I've seen her down, but I saw her looking up to God. I saw her hurting. I saw her destitute. I saw her hurting really bad, but I heard the words that she spoke. God's been good to me. And that made an impact on my life. And there ain't no boss. There is no acquaintance. There is no family. There is no church group. There's nobody on the internet. Nobody in this city. Nobody in the world that's going to take away from me what God has given me. Let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. I hear people that don't attend church that much, when they finally come in the middle of the week, the things they're concerned about, things they want to talk about, I have no interest. No interest. I'm not interested in it. Hallelujah. God's good. Let's praise Him one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Time to quit. So where do we go from here? Well, these people, they were afraid because Jesus appeared. The blessing came. They were afraid. Their eyes had been opened. And now they were telling others about Jesus, and Jesus came right in amongst them. And everybody was afraid. Hallelujah. And He asked, why are you troubled? After He said, peace be to you. Why are you troubled? I tell you, it's kind of scary though when you see a man die and a few days later he comes around again. One fellow standing in front of a casket. The lady's bending over the casket said, Mama, speak to me one more time. And this African-American gentleman standing there, and he kept getting closer to the window. And she said, Mama, speak to me one more time. And somebody says, why are you getting so close to that window? He said, because if she speaks, I'm going out that window. They believed Jesus, and at least they thought they did. He said, I got to die, but I'll live again. Destroy the temple 3 days, I'll raise it up. And then here's these faithful people of God saying, we've seen Him. He is alive. Okay, that's acceptable. We can hear this. We can hear your report. You've been with Jesus. That's good. But all of a sudden, Jesus Himself shows up. Some people are absolutely surprised when revival breaks out in the local church. Terrified and shocked that God can actually move on your sons and your daughters and your family members and your brothers and your sisters and do a great work. They were terrified, thought they'd seen a spirit. He said, why are you troubled? Why do these thoughts enter your hearts? Look, my hands, my feet, it is I myself. Handle me. See, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Some people get all bent out of shape because they don't understand. And they think when they get to heaven, they're going to see Jesus with scars in his hands. Praise God. Let me tell you something. The God we serve is able to manifest his presence any way he wants to do it. And evidently, he took that body of Jesus Christ and left the scars there so the doubting Thomas could see. Amen. But don't you expect to see nail-scarred hands when you get to heaven? Ain't going to be no scars in heaven. Praise God. But if God wanted you to see them, he could show them to you. I'm going to tell you what. Jesus could walk through this door right now physically and show you a crown of thorns on his head if he wanted to. But he's got something better to show you. The Holy Ghost that will lift you out of gloom and despair. Hallelujah! You can enter in some cathedral today and you can see all kinds of stained windows and crucifixes and pictures and all kinds of things of the blood flowing, and people are saying, oh, look at the cross, look at the cross. We need to look past the cross. Amen. Jesus is alive. He doesn't want us to dwell on the agony. He wants us to dwell on the victory. He is alive. He is alive forevermore. He has risen. He talks to us now. He is with us right now. Hallelujah. We sing the song, I'll cherish the old rugged cross. I have trouble singing it, although I love the song. But many times I sing, I cherish the Christ of the cross. Because the cross without Christ, it's just a piece of wood. Hallelujah. But it's what happened at Calvary. Makes me keep singing that song. I will cherish the old rugged cross. But please know, I don't worship the cross. Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross. You think about the words, it borders on idolatry. Amen. It's a beautiful song though. But I'm not going to cling to the old rugged cross. I'm going to cling to the resurrected Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God I kneel at the cross. I went through taking up my cross and following him. I did deny myself. I did die. I was buried with him in water baptism, but I didn't stay under the water. Hallelujah. And we shall rise to walk in newness of life. Newness of life. It's time for us to have newness of life. Remember who we are, what we've got. There's no reason to look down. God is on the throne.